expensive. It's 7:41 right now, and summer is over. It's back to school, which means getting back into a routine. And no routine is more important than a sleep routine. Here to tell us how we can get one is certified pediatric sleep consultant, Tracy Bronstein. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy. Good morning.
Good morning. So why is it so important to establish a healthy sleep routine?
Well, you know, children, I mean, actually everybody, adults as well, but specifically children really thrive on the consistency and structure of a solid routine. It really prepares their mind and body for sleep, and it allows for the proper wind down, and it just allows for sleep to kind of come in a nice, relaxing way. So that consistency is super important.
All right, and of course, that consistency has probably been out the window throughout the summer months. So what's the first step then in either reestablishing or establishing a healthy sleep routine?
Well, the first thing, you know, depending on the age of the children, but what I like to recommend that people do is just, you know, have a little brief family meeting, you know, like, you know, sit down at the table, have their favorite snacks, and just talk about the fact that, hey, guys, you know, back to school's coming up, and we kind of have to get back on track with, you know, what's going to be happening during the week, and just kind of let everybody know that, you know, things are going to get back to you know, that routine, and what's going to be happening, and what the bedtime hours are going to be, and what the bedtime routine essentially is. So that's a good start. And then, you know, you want to make sure that, because the sun is obviously still light out quite late, make sure that the rooms do have a good blackout blind in it, and you want to kind of get that their sleep environments, you know, darkened before sleep. So we don't want them, you know, lying in bed and the windows blaring open with the sunshine blaring in, and expect them to be able to fall asleep when, you know, at the ideal time. So that's definitely a key thing there.
Okay.
Then, you know, electronics is a big one as well.
Yeah.
So especially with the older kids, we really want to limit that screen time. If you can, I know it's a stretch, but if you can, a good 2 hours before bedtime would be great, to not have, you know, any TV, electronics, iPads, iPhones, computers, all of that.
And yet so many kids go to bed with these devices.
Yeah. And then they wonder why they're having trouble falling asleep, and they end up falling asleep very late. And because actually it only takes about 7 minutes of screen time to start to trick our brain into staying awake. It actually inhibits the release of melatonin, which is so key to, you know, bringing on sleep. So we really want to try to limit that screen time. It is a big, big key part of this.
Yeah, and I know you're a pediatric sleep consultant, but I would imagine even adults who are reading on Kindles and their e-readers, it's got to have the same impact.
Yeah, it really does. I think they have some now that are not backlit, which is probably the better way to go. But yes, absolutely. And that, you know, how many times people come to me and say, oh, do you deal with adults too? I'm like, no, but probably just turn off your phone is going to be my first tip, which
so
we're all guilty of.
2 hours before bedtime, no TV,
ideally,
no electronics,
do
ideally.
As much as you can.
Okay.
Is great.
And I understand that you're also an advocate for earlier bedtimes.
Yes, this is really important. You know, again, depending on the age of your children, but we really want to look, you know, especially looking at those, like, you know, preschool age or young school age kids, they really do go to bed too late. So, you know, the exact bedtime hour really depends on the age of your child. But let's say for a typical six-year-old, just to pull an age out there, you know, for a young preschooler or kindergartner, you want to look at about 12 hours after their morning wake time is going to give you a good indication as to when that child really should be in bed for the night. And age-appropriate bedtimes, you know, can range as early as 5 for
what?
Obviously much younger children. Yes, I know everybody says that. I'm talking, you know, like 2-year-olds. If they don't have a daytime nap, for example, we do need to compensate for missing day sleep with a super early bedtime. So it is an age-appropriate time. That's the earliest we could go is 5.
Okay.
And really the latest we should go is probably about 8. So anywhere
for any
in that,
elementary
that
school age or for a 6-year-old? You're talking a 6-year-old.
Yeah, not 5 o'clock for a 6-year-old, but a 6-year-old, you know, for a non-napping child, I'd like to look at 12 hours from when they wake up
okay.
in the morning. So if they wake up at 7, ideally they should really be in bed for 7. For the night.
Wow.
And then that's a nice way for you to kind of gauge. And the biggest thing also is watch their behavior between 4 and 5. And, you know, we can see those tired signs. We see the mood changes. either they become hyperactive or grumpy or there's a lull. So look for tired signs, you know, between that 4 and 5 o'clock hour, and then you'll gauge where things should be.
Okay. So, because some kids obviously get to sleep in later than others. I mean, for example, my kids have a later start time. They only start elementary school at 9:05. So mm-hmm. my kids do go to bed a bit later because I know they can sleep in the morning. But you're right. Saying earlier to bed is a healthier habit regardless.
It is a healthier habit. I mean, depending how late we're talking, you know, we want their chunk of sleep to be happening kind of at the right timing of the night. But you also want to look and make sure that they're getting their recommended hours. So, like, you know, kids between the ages of 5 and 12, for example, we do want to shoot for about 10 to 11 hours of consolidated sleep in the night. So, you know, if they can go to bed at 9 and they're waking up at 9 and there's no issues and they're falling asleep nicely, they're not, you know, experiencing any nighttime wakings, and they're waking on their own rested and happy, then it's great. You know that they're rested. But, you know, if things are not and you're seeing different issues, or they're taking a long time to fall asleep, or, you know, all the various issues that we see, that's when you really, you know, your first course of action is probably going to be to bring bedtime back.
Okay. And you've also said that consistency is key.
Oh, yes. This is like the biggest thing with anything with children. Consistency is key. You know, they need to know that, you know, and see that we mean what we say and say what we mean. And they will really thrive on that consistency. Even though they protest the authority sometimes of a bedtime routine, they actually do want it and they feel safest within that. So they will thrive, and it will also set them up for other things too in the day. If they see that mom and dad mean what they say and stick to it, you know, in bedtime, then they're also going to know that you're going to mean what you say and stick to it in other areas of parenting too. So just in general, consistency is really the key to success for any kind of bedtime issues.
All right, Tracy, some great tips this morning. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Tracy Bronstein is a certified pediatric sleep consultant. You can find her at Sleep Tight Solutions. It's 7:48. We're taking you traveling after this.